and welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money so that you are able to get out of debt, there's more, and continue to live a debt-free life. Nice financial goal to have, isn't it? Living a debt-free life. Learn about our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and that first one that comes up on the list is Navigating Your Finances God's Way. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. So Evelyn, let's get right into today's topic. Let's go through 10 ways, 10 tips to save money for that summer vacation.
You know, with all the cold weather lately, I don't know about you, but I've been dreaming about margaritas on a nice warm beach basking in the sun. What do you think, John?
I can dream about that any time of the year.
You know, it's good for people to get away from the grinding day-to-day activity. And maybe the school nights where you have to concentrate on homework or meetings or all that other stuff that comes with your regular routine. We all need some time away from that, right?
Absolutely. Exodus 34:21 tells us, 6 days you may labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the seasons of plowing and harvesting, you must rest.
So rest, one of the forms that rest can take is not only relaxing with the family on Sunday, but also taking a family vacation.
Yeah, but family vacations can be a real financial drain.
But I think as long as you plan ahead and save for vacation and have a plan, a financial plan for vacations, I think it's a good idea. Now, sometimes you may not be able to go anyplace other than stay in the backyard and jump through the sprinklers.
A staycation.
Because it's silly to finance a luxury. And vacations are a luxury. They're not a necessity, right?
And I think it's important that you should always pay cash for your vacation. It's really kind of silly to finance something that's a luxury.
And you may feel like you need a vacation, but even if you really think you need it, it's going to be a lot more peaceful once you get home when you don't have that credit card debt hanging over your head.
Yeah, and vacations are still a luxury expense. So don't charge them.
So with that being said, we do encourage you to live it up while you're on vacation, but live it up within your budget.
Absolutely. Vacation is a time of releasing stress, thinking about nothing, rejuvenating your mind and your body. And if you go on vacation without doing any planning or how you're going to pay for it, well, it's just not going to seem like much of a vacation because you're going to be stressed out because you have so much to worry about because you haven't paid for this. And so you're worrying about everything you're spending, all the stuff that you're doing.
So if you're in vacation planning mode now, you should start making firm plans for the vacation that you've been dreaming about all winter. And with a little creativity, you can probably bulk up your savings account a bit and save on your vacation at the same time without going into debt to finance it.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you think it's too late to save for vacation now, then the best thing for you to do is to do a staycation this year and start saving for your vacation for next year now.
You know, because we encourage everybody to have a line for vacation or entertainment in their monthly budget and set aside a certain amount every month. And if you haven't done that, it may be too late.
Even spending all day at the neighborhood pool can be a vacation if you typically don't have time to do that in your normal daily grind of what you do. So then once you skip this year's vacation and avoid running up a credit card debt because, you know, you didn't go on vacation this year, you should be able to put money aside for next year by starting right now and implementing some of the tips that we're going to talk about.
So we're going to talk about 10 tips for saving money for this year's vacation, right?
Absolutely.
So I think the first thing is to open a dedicated vacation bank account. Most banks or credit unions or places where you have your money will let you open up another account. And it's a good idea to just set that money aside and not even think about it.
I think it's a great way of putting that money aside. And, you know, if it's in a separate account, you're not as inclined to be stealing money out of it to pay for this, that, or the other thing.
And if you put a certain amount aside each month, it's not like you're getting this huge bill at the end of vacation when you come home.
Right. To make it even easier, just set it up so that the bank automatically transfers X number of dollars, whatever it is that you want to save on a monthly basis, have the bank automatically transfer that from your checking to your savings account every single month.
And don't pay any attention to it, right?
Absolutely.
And if you can even get a little bit of interest, your money might grow just a little bit because there's not that much interest being paid these days, but it will help you look forward to your trip.
And if you want to really kind of put that money aside, maybe go with an online bank for your vacation savings. It makes it a little bit harder to withdraw money and that kind of thing, but you'll be less likely to pull it out for anything except your vacation.
If you have a special amount set aside, then once you leave home, it's easier to track how much you're spending because it's not just coming out of somewhere. You know, you're not just charging it on an unending credit card that's going to run up the balance.
Right.
You've got
right.
a certain amount aside set aside to spend.
So how are you going to figure out how much money you need to save every month? Well, figure out how much your vacation is going to cost. What's it going to cost to get there? Whether you're going by car or plane or whatever. How much is it going to cost to stay there? Wherever it is that you're staying, a cabin in the woods or a five-star resort hotel on the beach. Figure out what it's going to cost, add up the number of days, total cost, and then number of months before you have to leave. That will tell you how much you need to save every month.
Well, and the other two things that we didn't mention were the food and the entertainment. You know, those two things are very important.
A second way of saving for vacation would be to monitor your monthly food budget. For many households, especially those with little ones or teenagers running around, food can be a huge monthly expense. So shave a little bit off the top each week when you go to the grocery store. Set that grocery money aside and put it in the savings account for the vacation. It won't take long before that starts to add up to big money.
And in addition to shaving a little bit off the top, look at buying in bulk or shopping at farmers markets or joining a community agriculture group or starting a garden. You know, those are all great ways to save a little bit, and every little bit helps.
But just remember that buying in bulk, if it's going to go bad, then you're not saving any money.
So buy the non-perishables in bulk.
Yeah. Now, Evelyn, you've talked about this Checkout 51 app. That's a way of saving money, isn't it?
They give you rebates on things that you buy at the grocery store that are part of their program. So you just can save money on specific products and then get cash back. So we'll have a link to that on our website. Once you've reached a certain amount of savings, then they cut you a check. So that's not much, but it's a little bit that you can save for your vacation.
The important thing when you're using any kind of an app like that, or coupons or anything, is not to be buying something just because it's on sale and you can save money. If you don't use it in the normal course of your cooking, then it's just going to sit in the back of the pantry and, you know, you really didn't save any money, you spent money.
Well, and the other thing is to avoid spending money on treats like soda pop or, you know, canned junk food.
Soda pop is like Coke and Pepsi.
Everybody knows what soda pop is,
no,
don't they?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. You know, all those things that waste money that are empty calories really aren't helping either your bottom line financially or
your bottom.
Or your bottom line. Number three way to save for vacation is to get the family involved. You know, so many people shield their kids from financial realities. And we're not saying you should show the kids your checkbook and how much money's coming in and going out. But have a family meeting and talk about vacation and explain that you need to save money to set up a vacation account.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just another way of teaching your children financial responsibility. And so you talk about the cost of a vacation, how much savings you need to have in order to go on vacation, this is another great refrigerator chart. You know, put the savings that each child and each member of the family saves. Show it in a big red thermometer on the refrigerator.
And the kids are going to be much more likely to enjoy the saving mechanisms around the house if they know they're saving for something. I mean, if you're all of a sudden not giving them something that they've had or denying them something that you've been doing, they're going to resist it. But if they know that that money's being funneled toward vacations, they're going to be much more likely to participate and even come up with ideas of their own.
Well, and I think it also is going to make the vacation seem a little bit more important for them. And then when they get on vacation, it'll be a little bit more gratifying knowing that, gee, I did so much to help save money for this.
And isn't that a great lesson to teach kids about stewardship and financial responsibility and all the rest of that stuff?
Absolutely.
All right, what's number four?
Evaluate your transportation. You know, everybody expects to drive to work in their own car. When you go to work in the morning, look at all the cars that you're passing or that are passing you. Every one of them has how many people in it?
Usually one.
Typically just one. So think about maybe joining a carpool or starting a carpool in order that you can save the cost of tolls, the cost of gas, or parking, or whatever it is, the expenses that are involved in you driving all by your lonesome to work.
Plus, it's good for the environment.
Or maybe you can ditch the driving totally and take public transportation to work. Now, obviously, that depends on where you work and what the situation is for transportation in your area.
How about riding your bike to work?
Aha!
May or may not work depending on where you live and if there's a shower at work or not.
Yeah.
You know, what about using your car for a little extra income? There's some communities that will actually pay you to start a carpool, or maybe you could get involved in an organization like Uber or Lyft as a driver to earn some extra income.
Those are all great ideas, Evelyn. How about picking up you talked about Uber and Lyft. Picking up a side job to help pay for vacation is not a bad idea. Yeah, it may seem like you got to work a little bit harder now, but think about all the fun you'll have relaxing on your stress-free vacation that's already paid for.
And if there's a way that you can get the kids involved in those side jobs. I know when we had the hurricane this September, our son had his teenagers help him put up storm shutters. And the cost of that to the homeowner was divvied up between the two teenagers and our son so that they earned some extra money while taking on some side jobs.
They made some good money doing
that.
They did. Yeah. And another thing, maybe you've got a hobby that will allow you to save money and you can do for others whatever it is that your hobby is, like regripping golf clubs or something like that.
Or making jewelry.
Yeah.
That was the female version of regripping golf clubs. So if you make a little extra effort to earn extra money and save it for your vacation, you're going to make progress in actually getting to vacation.
Absolutely. Working the side jobs may mean sacrificing weekends or even a few hours at night, but it'll make vacation possible.
How true, John. You know, my wife, Audrey, and I have made this a practice that the vacation is paid in advance. We learned our lesson, 10 plus years ago. Came home from vacation, had a great time. 30 days later, go to the mailbox. There's a large credit card bill waiting for us. Kind of takes those fond memories right down the drain. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. Learn how we can help you reduce, then eliminate your debt. All of it, from credit card debts to student loans to your car and mortgage loans. Simply go to CompassCatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Today, John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, are running through 10 ways, 10 tips for you to save for that summer vacation. And as we count them up, John, let's get to number six.
Item number six on our list of how you can save for summer vacation: sell your unused stuff. You know, all that stuff that you've got in the garage or in the closet, in the back bedroom.
In the basement,
yep.
In the rented storage facility.
Yep, Yep, you got it. You got it. Sell that stuff. Maybe you'll even be able to put your car in the garage before you go on vacation. Try Facebook garage sales, or maybe your neighborhood has some garage sales. There's consignment shops typically that will take your stuff, or you can sell it on eBay, or just do an old-fashioned garage sale.
You know, we get so caught up in buying stuff and accumulating stuff, and a lot of times it's something we enjoy for a month, a couple months, maybe a year, and then it just gets shoved into a corner someplace. And you can make lots of money by selling some of that stuff, because one man's trash is another man's
treasure.
Very good.
Yes, yes. And we've proved that at church. We have a flea market at church every January, February time frame, and they sell $50,000 worth of junk.
I think we just keep trading the same junk throughout the parish.
It's a great money raiser for the church.
For outreach, yeah. Number seven. The way to save for vacation number seven is to make your credit card work for you.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Now, we don't promote the use of credit cards unless you pay it off every month, right?
Absolutely.
But if you're going to use a credit card, because that's the easiest way for you to tie into your budgeting, get one that helps you reach your goals. So get a credit card that will put money aside for saving, or hotel rooms, or airline miles, so that you can use that on your vacation.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. But remember, you have to pay the credit card off every single month.
It's just a tool.
It's a tool. That's right.
And the way you use it is to use it for getting points or getting bonus miles or cash back, and then paying it off.
You don't want to be creating more debt or new debt in order to get points or miles or whatever. So how about item number eight on your savings challenge? Spend less on your workout.
Well, you know, so many people want to get in shape, and they think they have to join a gym or pay fancy gym prices in order to get in shape. Maybe you just take a walk on a regular basis for a certain number of miles. Maybe you ride your bike. Maybe you watch a YouTube channel that has exercises on it. I mean, there's a whole bunch of ways that you can exercise without actually having to pay a gym membership.
Well, I already have a shape.
And that would be?
Well, you know, it's kind of like me.
I don't think that's quite what we're talking about here.
Well, you know, I've got a shape. I've got it.
But, you know, maybe you can get a discounted gym membership through your office, through your employer.
Yes.
There's always Groupons that you can use for that sort of thing. Or maybe there's some other way that you can save on your gym membership or on your exercise program, I guess is a better way to put it.
Yes.
I know we had a bunch of friends that were paying $90 to go to one place, and they all discovered that it was only $10 to go to another place where the facilities were pretty much the same.
Yes. And they all did that.
Yes. You were in that group, weren't you, Steve? They can't see you shaking your head.
Item number nine, search for deals on vacation equipment. I don't want to take equipment on vacation. What are you talking about?
Well, if you're going skiing or you're going snowboarding, maybe you need to buy winter clothes if you live in Florida like we do. So instead of going out and buying new winter duds for the whole family, maybe you get them from a consignment shop.
I live in Florida, so I don't have to wear winter duds.
And we certainly don't want to go to some place where it's cold for vacation, do we?
No. Another thing you might be able to do is to buy used rental equipment, or shopping at garage sales, or there's always stores like Secondhand Sam's or whatever that sell sporting goods that have been used that they've bought on consignment or just bought outright, and they'll sell you. And it's usually in pretty good shape, and it will give you a head start and be quite a bit cheaper than getting the equipment at the site when you get to your vacation.
Because a lot of that stuff is stuff you only use occasionally. You know, if you have children and you go skiing, the kids are going to outgrow the ski boots probably by the next trip.
Yes.
So it really doesn't make any sense to buy a lot of that stuff.
True. Item number 10.
Oh, this is my hot button. I saved this one for last because it's the best one.
Okay, Evelyn. Eat out less. That means you're going to have to cook. Or skip the fancy coffee on the way to work. Talk away.
How it just frustrates me when I see the line around the fancy coffee store and everybody's like in a deep dive despair because they don't have their morning coffee and they're lined up around this coffee shop and it's
caffeine, like, caffeine.
It's like, come on, people, make it at home. You'll save tons of money. Just throw your money out the window on your way to the fancy coffee store. So let's talk about the cost of that. You've got some figures there that talk about how much you can save on the different size drinks, right?
Well, if you're ordering a regular size drink, on average, you're going to spend $3.34. I don't know who comes up with these numbers. $3.34 each day, which would be $1,221 annually, and $6,105 over 5 years.
Which would be a really nice vacation, right?
That would be a great vacation. And if you're getting a large drink, instead of paying $3.34, you're going to pay an average of $4.10, which is $1,459 annually, or $7,295, almost $7,300 in 5 years. And if you go to extra large, it's more. You're going to save a lot more. Wouldn't you rather take a vacation than buy something you can actually make at home?
Yeah, I think if you make, even if you buy a travel mug and have to spend the money on that, making coffee at home is pennies a day. And you can get it just exactly the way you want it. You can save time driving to the coffee store, waiting in line.
Spending gas, idling in line.
Being irritated by all the people in front of you that have an order that has 15 adjectives in front of the word coffee.
What about eating out, Evan?
Honestly, I did some work on this, and I was looking around at a bunch of different websites, and I found out that the average meal at a restaurant is about $12.50.
I'd like to find one of those restaurants.
But think about that. $12.50, that's the meal. That's not even the drinks or the tip or the tax.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, I was going to say, I'd like to be able to pay only $12.50.
Well, you usually have to take me with you, so it's going to be more.
Oh.
But if you have two adults and two kids, that's $50 for a meal out, plus a tip, plus tax, right?
And how much is of the cost of the meal is actually the cost of the food?
It's about a third.
A third?
Yes.
Okay.
So if four people avoid eating out once a week, you would save about $16 on that one meal.
Per person?
Total.
Total.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. $16 a week.
Yep.
And over a year, that's going to be around $800?
It is, if you only eat out once a week and if you avoid that once a week.
Okay.
Now, if you eat out more often, you're going to save more. But so many times, people just seem to go to the restaurant or the fast food place because it's easy. And I understand that. It's tough being a working parent and having kids at home and homework and after school activities. But with a little bit of planning, you can make meals a lot more cheaply and a lot more in healthy foods than going to a restaurant. And, you know, one of the things I've heard women talk about is they make dinner the night before. So Monday night I come home, I've made dinner on Sunday for Monday, and we make a meal, we eat a meal that's already cooked. After dinner, I cook Tuesday's meal. So when I come home from work Tuesday, it's already done and ready to go. So that way you're always a step ahead and you don't have to stop at the restaurant because you're too tired to cook when you get home.
You know, that sounds really great, but it also sounds like you're eating leftovers every night.
And what's wrong with leftovers?
Well, I like leftovers, but there's a lot of people who won't touch them, you know?
Well, then they're going to spend a lot of money, aren't they?
But, you know, I remember a family back many years ago, and they were talking about when they would go to the baseball games. And there was Little League games, and they were on Saturday afternoon or, you know, in the evenings. And they always had the games about when supper time was. And so they would make sandwiches before they left for the game, and when they got to the Little League game, they would, whether they were sitting in the stands or sitting in chairs along the sideline, whatever, they would have their dinner because they'd made sandwiches to take with them, and they didn't have to buy $10 hot dogs from the concession stand and $2 Cokes and stuff like that. It really saved them a lot of money. You remember hearing about that?
I do, and I remember the $10 hot dogs that get dropped in the sand and the $2 Cokes that get spilled. So, yes, that is definitely a money-saving idea. You know, the bottom line here is we all need to get away from work, and vacations are a good way to do that, but they need to be cost-effective, right?
And, you know, even God rested on the seventh day when he completed the work of creating the world. We don't have near that much work to do. So the key is to plan ahead so you can enjoy your vacation and be debt-free when you return home.
You know, saving up for that big trip isn't easy, but hopefully some of these strategies we talked about will help you save a little bit faster and have your trip already paid for by the time you leave home.
Planning ahead is going to help you to have a debt-free vacation. Let me repeat that. It's a debt-free vacation. After all, who wants to go on the perfect vacation and come home to a pile of debt?
Nobody.
Nobody. That's right.
As John and Evelyn recommended at the beginning of today's show, if you can't afford a vacation, then do a staycation this year. But start saving for next year's vacation now. Hey, if you missed any of today's show, because we had a lot of information in it, we've made it available at compasscatholic.org. Scroll down on the homepage and you'll run right into it. Plus, we have the show notes available. Evelyn has posted all those websites that she mentioned throughout today's program. And before we leave, let's get to one of the questions we received this week via email. John and Evelyn, we are trying to plan ahead and budget for the kids' summer camp. Gee, how timely this question is. And I'm wondering, is summer camp tax deductible as childcare?
Summer camp may qualify for a tax credit. And parents who work or are looking to work and use childcare for the kids under 13 years of age can find that childcare expenses in an approved center can be deductible, but expenses for overnight camps typically don't qualify.
And you can find out more about that just by Googling IRS 503, which takes you to a site called Child and Dependent Care Expenses. So that'll tell you it's legally tax deductible.
Yeah, and whether it is or not.
If you have a question or two for John and Evelyn, by all means, send the questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening. Just a reminder, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. So I guess we'll talk to you next Wednesday. On behalf of John and Evelyn, my name is Steve Holbrook, and you're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic. Remember the web address, compasscatholic.org.